Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're going to read from Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Start there, read about five verses. It's wonderful to see those young people here. The future. God has spoken to us a few years ago that we need to focus and concentrate on raising up the next generation. And that means giving up space. You know, when we raise up, we have a saying in our church, a good leader doesn't take up space. He creates space for others. When we create space for others, we have to give up some space. It costs us, but it's worth it for the next generation to come up. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately, he made his disciples, I want you to see that, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on a mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by, but when he saw them walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. They were utterly astounded. When I read this passage of Scripture and I was studying it, and I thought to myself, why did Jesus send them out into the sea? I mean, this is God. He knows what's going on, right? He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows what's happening from the beginning to the end. He knew there was going to be a storm. But it says that Jesus made them get into the boat. It said after this. So we need a little background on this. What was after this? Well, he had just fed 5,000. Food miraculously multiplying. And it says the reaction of his disciples, along with the people, they were ecstatic seeing these miracles, and they wanted to make him king. But we know that Jesus fled from that. He didn't want to be made king. How many knows that the devil will get you either way? He will either puff you up or he will condemn you and tell you nothing. Jesus wasn't going to accept a crown to be a political or a military king because he is already the King of Kings. Amen? The devil will try to sell you your own house if he can. He'll try to sell you the Coronado Bridge if he can. We know that he even tried to make Jesus king. He said, "I'll give you all the," in the desert, he told Jesus, "I'll give you all the king." He isn't giving us anything. He's taking from us. Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But I come to give you life, and life more abundantly. A life that you haven't experienced yet. A life that is waiting for you. This message today is one point. You know, there's 21 steps to success and all this. I have one point. I like things simple, right? There's one point in this message, and that point is we can trust God. You can trust God. Jesus had his disciples there as interns. How many interns are there here tonight? We got some interns. You're just starting out. These are Jesus' interns. The whole future of the church is sitting there in that boat, 12 disciples, 12 interns. And he has to show them that he is king of the storm, that he is king of the storm that's going on the outside, and he's king, the Prince of Peace, of the storm that goes on the inside. I know we come to church and we're dressed nice and we see smiles, and at the same time, we know that people are in a storm. Sometimes we feel like we've been rowing, and these guys were rowing for 6 or 8 hours. 6 or 8 hours, and they were painfully making a little bit of progress. They were staying in the same place. How many of us have been in situations and we're rowing and we're fighting and we're not getting anywhere? We're just sitting there rowing. But I want to tell you something. We need staying power. We need staying power. We've got to stay in where God has called us. How many have received a word from God? Amen. Receiving the word of God is the easy part. They received the word from God. He said, go into the boat and we're going to the other side. But when they got in and the storm came and they were struggling and they weren't getting any place for hour after hour after hour, they began to doubt that word. They began to get scared. That storm on the outside began to come on the inside. Fear began to struck them. But Jesus wants us to know that this life, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be winds. When God places a seed within us, a prophetic word, a promise out of the Bible that he's given to each and every one of us, because each and every one of you have a call. The Bible says before the foundations of the world, he created us in Christ Jesus for good works. He's called each and every one of us to have a part in the body of Christ and to do good things. But we have to hold on to that word. And we see the mighty men of God over the times, Joseph, Moses, they got words from God. David, when he was anointed king, after that, all hell broke loose for the next 15 years. Joseph received a dream that he was going to see people bow down before him. He was going to be in a high place of authority. But it was from there he went into jail. It was resistance, resistance, resistance. And so Jesus wants these disciples to know it isn't all that easy. It isn't that you just multiply bread and then you become king and everybody loves you and you've made your big statement and now everybody's going to follow. It isn't that easy. So he wanted to build into them the fact that they could trust God. But to see miracles happen in our lives, we have to have stay power. We have to stay in it. The Bible says if we wait on the Lord, waiting is not just sitting around. Waiting is continuing to row. They could not sit there and do nothing, or they would go down the stream. They had to row even just to get nowhere. But it was because Jesus says, you get in the boat and you row, and I am going to come. We're going to go to the other side. It's the picture of our Christian life. It's the picture of the church that's out there, and the wind is blowing, and there's resistance, the winds of adversity. But Jesus is with us. The Bible says that he was there on the mountain praying. The Bible says he is there ever to intercede for each and every one of us. It's not that he left, and many of us, when we go through problems, we forget the promise and the words that we received, and we feel like, the devil makes us feel like, where is God? Does he even care about what's going on about us? They're rowing and rowing and rowing, and where is Jesus? He said, we're going to the other side. But Jesus was praying, and the Bible says he saw that they were having a tough time. Jesus knows what we're going through. He was praying for them, interceding for them, and he was watching them. Even though the Bible says it was night, it was a storm, there was no physical way that he could see them, really. But don't you love that word in Spanish, sobrenatural? So, it means above the natural. Jesus is above the natural. He does things that are above. That's why he came walking on the water, over the natural, because he's above all the natural storms. Amen? He's above the natural storms in your life. If you want to start a business, if you want a marriage, if you want to be in leadership, you're going to need staying power. You're going to have to see that thing through and wait until, and know. You're going to have to know it doesn't matter how hard the wind is blowing. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He said he's going to come. He is coming. Now, sometimes we get it wrong. And that's why Jesus placed these guys in the boat with all that resistance, because in the beginning of their ministry, they had to know that they were in for a fight. The devil knows that the easiest time to steal the seed, like the parable of the seeds, it says that when the seed is planted, immediately the devil comes to try to grab that seed. Why? Because that's the easiest time to get it out, when it's first planted. That's the easiest time. No, that's just you thinking. That's not the word of God. That's, you know, people are encouraging you. It's for them. It's not for you. It's the easiest time. He don't want that word to start getting into the ground and taking root, and you being able to resist the temptations and the adversity of life. But you know what? He had to show the disciples, just because I give you a word does not mean it's going to be easy. We receive words and then, you know, all hell breaks loose. I have a lot of people come and say, Bob, I received the Lord last week and I thought everything was going to, we're going to start going good, and now everything's upside down and it's worse than it was before. Well, I said, well, it's obvious. Before, you were walking with the current of this world, with the devil. You were smiling arms in arms, and then you made a decision for Christ. You went, turned around, and now you're going against the wind. You're going against the world. So now you need some help from Jesus. You need some stay power. You need to stay there and make sure that that marriage works. I get a kick out of guys. Don't have much stay power. They don't stay in the marriages. Praying for somebody. One of the guys comes up and he says, I have a little problem. I said, okay, what's the little problem? Well, I have a problem with a little bit of adultery. A little bit of adultery. That's like being a little bit pregnant. Marriage is wonderful. 42 years with my wife. But we still get up and I get... In Spanish, they say, dale una mucha. It's a sloppy kiss. You got to give your wife a sloppy kiss. Help her with the house. Stay in the marriage, even when it gets tough. You don't let the devil throw you out of the boat. You stay in there, and you resist. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And sometimes we get it wrong. I even hear Christians, some of the things that they say. You know, you got to serve and give without expecting anything in return. That's the definition of unbelief. That is the definition of unbelief. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, because he that believeth in God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He is the one that comes and intervenes into your life. When you're sowing in prayer, when you're rowing against the rug, you know he's coming. He's going to intervene. He is going to bring that miracle in your life. But we have to have stay power. We have to believe that God is a God of intervention. Jesus didn't come here because he had a problem. He came here because we had a problem. He came here out of heaven in his wonderful place. I'm sure it was better than here, you know. But he left and he came down in an uncomfortable place to come here and to give his life for us. Jesus had stay power. How many know Jesus had stay power? Right? He came and he stuck it out. I can't imagine, you know, sometimes even when we're going to preach a message, you have that pressure of knowing you're going to be before people and you want to transmit that word of God and you want to get it right. And you feel that pressure or in whatever a trial you're going through. But could you imagine Jesus knowing that the last thing he's going to do on this earth is hang on that cross and die for us? All the time that he was ministering, all the time that he was preaching, he had monkey on his back, the devil trying to beat him with that. Yeah, you're gonna be on that cross. You need to get out of that cross. You don't even need to go there. But he had staying power. He stayed in it. We have so many people that come to church 1 week, 2 weeks, and boom, they're in another church. No stay power. God wants to deal with your life. He wants to place in you faith, and you need to stay there. You need to allow him to deal with your life. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We hear so much that doctors want to deal with us on the cellular level. Well, God wants to deal with us on the spiritual level. It's even deeper. It's something that goes within our heart. That word fear means cowardice. God has not given us a spirit to be cowards. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Isn't it interesting that power comes before love? We would think that, well, no, we're motivated by love. Let me tell you something. Without the power of God, you can't even love. Without the power of God, we can't love our wives. We can't love other people. We can't love God. We need power from God. That's why I said, as many as received him, to them, the first thing he does is, I give you power to become a son of God. The process. It's not an event. It's a process. Even in our marriages, you know, guys are, you know, us guys, and I deal with it all the time in the community where we live. Marriage is an event, you know. It's over, and the guys are like, you know, been there, done that. But that was just the beginning of a long life of learning to become one flesh. How are two people going to become one flesh if there isn't pressure, fire, and time, winds of adversity, for us to become one person, to really know the other person? Young people, when God gives you something, God gives you virginity right from your birth, that precious gift for you to offer to the person that you're going to stay with to the rest of your life. But you need staying power to hold on to that and not give it up so very easily. You need staying power. We were called to the mission field in 1989. And before that, I had this sense that God was calling us into full-time ministry. I had been serving in our church in New York for 12 years. And so I invited my pastor for a breakfast one day. And I said, you know, Pastor Joe, I'm feeling like God's calling me into full-time ministry. Maybe I can work half-time in the church. It won't cost you anything. I'm making enough money in my business. And he turned pale. And he said to me, Bobby, I'll find you a church. And then I went pale. I said, what are you talking about? I've been serving here for 12 years. You know, you don't find me a church. But you know, it wasn't God's timing. It took a while. It took a while. And I had to not die to that vision of that next level of ministry. I had to have staying power to have that word of God. And so in 1989, I had this idea. How many know that us guys, especially, I like to talk to the guys for some reason, you know, to encourage them because, you know, they're sometimes we're a lot of the problem, you know. You know that, me too, right. Especially with my wife, you know, she says, you never listen to me. Guys have this special ability to not hear anything and still answer. Now she tests me. She'll tell me what she wants me to do, and then she says, now what did I say? Look at me right here. We used to work together years ago, and I'd always forget, and she'd get really mad, and so one time she came storming in. I said, where are you going, honey? She says, I'm going to the moon. I said, okay, I'll see you when you get back. That was the wrong answer. So anyway, I had this idea, you know, a friend of mine was going down to Ecuador, and he came up, and we decided to start supporting him there. So I said, well, you know, when you're on the field, I'll come down and visit you. So we were poor when we first got married. We were very tough time. We didn't have a really good honeymoon. So we were going to have our second honeymoon. Yeah. And now we're down the road a bit. You know, we have it. We have the station wagon, the kids, the car, the house, everything is there, you know? So I said, instead of, you know, Lord, we're going to go on this, you know, this dream trip to Mexico or the Cancun, and it's really cool. But you know, why don't we give up our second honeymoon and visit the mission field? What an idea. Why didn't I think of that? So she says, okay. It wasn't so exciting. But we did it anyway. We went down onto the mission field, visited our friend. He put us in this hotel room in Guayaquil. In one of the tourist books, it says it's the Pearl of the Pacific. But they don't tell you that it was still in the shell. It was very scary. We got in this crazy room, and outside it would look like, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, open markets, you know, guys peeing in the street, and my wife is freaking out. Where did you take me? You know, and we have this air conditioner with this big hole above it. And she's deathly afraid of mosquitoes and getting bitten, so these mosquitoes are coming in. So I find this telephone book on the floor. I got to get things calm, and I stick it in the hole above the air conditioner that doesn't work. And about the middle of the night, you know, everything gets calmed, and this telephone book falls down on my head. So I jump up, and I'm starting to do karate because I figure we're getting robbed. And so I get up and I start praying and I feel the presence of God in a very, very heavy way. And the Lord says, I've called you here to be a part of this team. And I says, okay, but don't say anything to Lori. You know how she is. Because it was very difficult. It was very difficult to receive that word and then to see it through. It took us about a year to disconnect. And we came down to Ecuador in 1990 and we began to work. And it was just like this, in that boat, rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing, and nothing was happening. My wife didn't want to go to begin with. And then she was getting discouraged while we were there. And then with good reason, we had three kids. She was pregnant and 7 months pregnant when we went down and was homeschooling three kids with a newborn baby. You know, and so she was having a tough time. My wife is Jewish. You know, people would ask her, you know, what's a Jewish girl like you doing in Ecuador? And she would say, my husband's a missionary. But she was right. I was out there playing basketball with the guys. You know, it was a little church, 25, 30 people, and not much to do. And I was having a grand old time being the great missionary. But she was paying the price. She had the staying power. She was teaching our kids. She was giving herself day after day so that we could be there. She had that staying power from God. She took that word. And a little bit later, she received the word from God. It was a very simple word. God said to her, you know what? When I called Noah, I didn't ask Mrs. Noah. Did you know that? You're reading the Bible, you know, God called Noah. He didn't say nothing about Mrs. Noah. She just went along. They were one flesh. God called them. They called them both. And then so she got the revelation. If God called me, we're together. We're one flesh. It's our calling. And then she could get that staying power also. We need that staying power. We need that staying power. I remember when Stacy first came to San Diego. This is before C3. And she was here. She had a word from God. Dad, you know, God called me to San Diego. Something great's going to happen there, you know. And then a while down the road, about a year later, she called me. I'm, Dad, I got no money. I'm living in a bad part of town in the ghetto, you know. I don't have a good job. I'm answering telephones, not making any money. Most of my friends that came with me left. So she was waiting for me to say, oh, okay, honey, you know, here's some money. Take a ticket. Come on down. But I said, hey, Stace, didn't you tell me that God called you to? I said, I think you need some staying power. I think a year from now, you're going to be laughing about all this because Jesus is coming. Because Jesus is coming. And it wasn't only a little bit after that that she ran into C3 and got a better job and then got offered to work here and come on staff and things. But she had to keep rowing and rowing and rowing, even though you're not getting anywhere. That doesn't matter. If you're where God wants you to be, it doesn't matter about the success. We're not success orientated. Let me tell you something. At the end of time, Jesus isn't going to say, well done, thou good and successful servant. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You had staying power. You stayed there. You hung on to my word. You waited until I came, and I came into your life, and I made it happen because I'm a miracle-working God. We were there in Ecuador for year after year. We were 40 or 50 people. It seemed like forever. One of the worst things there was even the Christians and the missionaries that came down before. They called it the cemetery of missionaries. One of the hardest places to preach the gospel. It was one of the only countries in all of South America, the least evangelized country in all South America. It was called the Vatican of South America. Deep-rooted Catholicism. But even that wasn't even the problem. The first missionaries that went down were condemning the people. They had signs. They were marching in the street. You're going to burn, idolaters. You need to repent. And all this stuff inoculating them from the gospel. Instead of telling them that Jesus loves you, your problem isn't your sin, Samaritan woman. Your problem is you need living water. You need a miracle from God. You need to trust God with your life. You need to open yourself up so I could come into your life. We need staying power. We need staying power. You're here this morning. Some of you are businessmen, you're getting into leadership. And it seems like, you know, you're rowing and rowing and rowing. Nobody's taking notice of you, and you're going no place, and it's taking a lot of your energy. But let me tell you something. If you really receive the word from God, if you continue to row and stay in it, we won't be cowards. God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. We don't need to be in competition with anybody. Oh, God blesses that person, but he doesn't bless me. Why doesn't he bless me? And he blesses them. God wants to bless all of us. God wants to bless all of us. There's no ladder. God loves each and every one of us and has a call for us. And he is the God of intervention. He showed those disciples, even though they were rowing for 6-8 hours, that his word is true. His timing and the way he comes is supernatural. Walking on the water just when their last ounces of strength was out. But Jesus gets in the boat, and the Bible says, and you have to read the three versions in the three different gospels. It says, as soon as he got in the boat, they were on the other side. All of a sudden, all that time that you were spending rowing and rowing, you thought you were doing it in vain. When Jesus gets into your boat, it immediately happens. You get to the other side. You get to where you're going. That business begins to take off. An open heaven happens. And that's what happened for us in Ecuador. We hung in there 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, and we just continued to serve. We weren't just waiting around. We were waiting on God, working, rowing. We were ministering to marriages, being hospitable, preaching the gospel in the parks, doing what we needed to do, continue to row. And then all of a sudden, something happened in the air. And whole families just began to start showing up at church. Whole families just saying, I said, what do you need? What can we pray for you? We need to get saved. Really? Whole families, 30, 40, 50, 60 people a week coming in every week. The heavens opened up and thousands of people came to the Lord. Preaching simple messages and just seeing the altar just flooded with people coming up, something broke in the air. God was moving. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. This morning, I want to share with those that are struggling. You've been rowing in your life. You've been going against the wind. But God is coming. If you hang in there. And you know, it's not about us we could get the idea, well, it's the white knuckle club. We just have to hang on. It isn't that at all. It's the fact that we need to know that we can trust God. It's knowing that it doesn't matter how tough it gets. If God says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to show up. So I want to finish with this. Sometimes we get it wrong. You know, I have a lot of people come up for prayer at the end of services, and they say, "Bob, I'm in this job, and my boss is cruel, and he lies, and the people are just talking about each other and judging one another and criticizing one another. Please pray for me that God get me out of this situation, get me a better job." And I tell them, you're probably the only one there that knows the Lord. You're the light of the world. You know, Jesus says we're the light of the world, not just the light of the church. We have to be the light of the world. The world is dark. The world has the wind, and that's where we need to shine that light. That's why Jesus says you don't put it under a bush. You put it right on top where everybody can see. I said probably God has you there specifically because you're the only chance that these people have to meet the Lord. You need staying power. You need staying power. Stay there. Trust God and wait for that intervention. Jesus is coming. Wow. Hallelujah. Is your name Jesus? How many love Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Jesus is awesome, isn't he? How many know that Jesus doesn't ask us to do things that he wasn't willing to do? He humbled himself. He was a carpenter for 30 years. No miracles, no. Just rowing. Just rowing, waiting for that intervention, that time when the Holy Spirit's going to come on and say, okay, now's the time, you know. And so many times we get it backwards. Jesus was up there on the cross and the Pharisees said, if you're really God, come down off that cross. Wouldn't that have been the easy way out? But Jesus had staying power. And because he was God, he stayed there for you and me. He stayed there and paid the price. Because he was God, he stayed on the cross. He had staying power because he wanted to pay that price for you and me so that we could have a life and life more abundantly. If you're here today and you've never had that relationship, you've never opened up your life and allowed Jesus to come in, maybe you've been rowing and rowing and rowing and the winds just keep coming against you and you think this just isn't for me. I've got to give up. Maybe it's for other people. It's not. No, it's for you. And Jesus can give you power to stay and receive that word and let it bring forth fruit in your life. But you need some staying power. But the first step is to open up our lives. The first step is allowing Jesus. It says Jesus would have came right by that boat. It was like he was going to walk right past it. But you know, those disciples, they wanted Jesus to come in that boat. They stopped him. They called him. And Jesus this morning, he's a gentleman. He'll just go on by. But it says, if anybody opens the door, I'll come in and sup with you and you with me. I'll come in. But you need to open the door. God has a part and we have a part. Our part is just open the door. His part, he comes in and does the miracle. We can trust God to do what he's going to do. But can we trust ourselves to do what we need to do? Can we take that step of faith? We know in that same part of the scripture that we read is where Peter walked on the water. You know, you never hear about the story in the Bible about the 11 that stayed in the boat. Nobody's heard that story. You only hear about Peter who walked on the water. The 11 were comfortable. They were content seeing Jesus walk on the water. They were content knowing that we're going to get saved. But Peter, he brought it to another level. He said, no, I'm not content with just that. I want to do it too. I want to do it too. I want to walk on the water. I want to walk in the miracles. I want to walk in the supernatural. I want to do what Jesus does. Jesus says, if you really believe in me, the things that I do, you'll do in greater things. Because I go to my Father, and I'll be with each and every one of you. I'll send you my Holy Spirit. He'll give you power from on the inside. You won't be a coward. You'll have power, love, and a sound mind, and you'll see my word be complete in your life. You'll be able to walk in victory. But you need some staying power. If you need staying power this morning, open your life to Jesus. If you're here and you need to get a relationship with Jesus, just raise your hand and say, Bob, I'd like you to pray with me. You can just raise your hand and say, today is the day. I want to pray. I want to make that decision. It takes a decision. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to make that decision? Say, I want Jesus. I want to open the door to my life and allow Jesus to come in. Don't allow the enemy to lie to you and say this, nothing's going to happen. This is for other people. It's not for me. It's for you. There's no mistakes. If you're here, it's because God has ordained that you're here this morning. And he has a plan for your life. If you'd like to receive Jesus, raise your hand, and I'd like to pray with you. Someone? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If you've received a word from the Lord and you've not seen the fulfillment yet, and you've been rowing a long time and you're tired, and you need some staying power, I'd like you to come up. We'll have a prayer with you and ask God's grace to come on you. Step out of your seat and come up. If you need some staying power, you've been having a tough time. There's nothing wrong with having a tough time. But we need to know while we're having a tough time that Jesus is in it. The promise of God is yes and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, my Father. Jesus, you're good. Holy is your name, Father. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We need to take a step of faith. There's another word for faith. It's called risk. Let me tell you, it took risk for Peter to step out of that boat. He had to get out of that comfortable place, and he had to take a step of faith, and he had to step out on water. Now, if you want to walk on something, water is about the last thing you want to walk on. It's very unstable, very easy to slip and slide and just go down. But it's only God that can keep us afloat. It's where we place ourselves in God's hands, in that risk, knowing that he's coming and he's there to hold us up, just like he was there to hold up Peter. God is going to do it. God is going to do it. So this morning, we can trust God. We want that one point to get into us this morning. No matter what the resistance and the winds of adversity happen in our lives, we can trust God. He's coming. He's coming.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.